You are listening to Let's Get Metaphysical. This podcast explores the spiritual and metaphysical world through the experiences and opinions of the host and those interviewed. It should not necessarily be seen as direct endorsement or personal advice to our listeners. We encourage you to use your own discernment, judgment, and intuition regarding anything you learn from this show.
Let's get metaphysical.
Welcome to Let's Get Metaphysical. I'm your host, Renata Maniacci, here to remind you that you are a divine spiritual being having a temporary human experience here on planet Earth. This is season 4, our season of miracles. I'm devoting this whole season to one special person and to the community his miracles and teachings have benefited. His name is Master John Douglas. In the first episode of this season, episode 37, I gave a more thorough intro into who Master John Douglas is, how I became acquainted with his work, and some terms that are going to be used throughout this season. If you have not listened to that episode yet, I encourage you to do so before listening to this one. I am honored and excited to introduce today's guest, who is a true miracle man in many senses of the word. Dr. Christopher Hartnett is a Harvard Business School grad, founder of many multi-million dollar companies, and has taken part in several spiritual movements since his teenage years, including being an integral part of the Transcendental Meditation Movement alongside its creator, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. Today, Dr. Hartnett is integrally involved in helping Master John Douglas fulfill his mission on Earth, and I want to talk a little bit about how that came to be. In the 1990s, Dr. Hartnett revolutionized the global telecommunications industry with his upstart company, USA Global Link, the first company to enable global phone-to-phone calling via the internet. Publications like the Financial Times dubbed him the father of internet telephone and VoIP technologies. After starting with just 3 employees in Fairfield, Iowa, Chris grew the company into a billion-dollar business, having offices in 192 countries and thousands of employees. He was on the cover of Wall Street Journal 7 times and was featured in cover stories by 8 different magazines. On the outside, it might seem like he could do no wrong in business. And looking in, you might think that he was the luckiest guy in the world. During that entire time, however, Chris Hartnett was extremely ill, struck by a debilitating intestinal tract disorder that eventually required doctors to rebuild his entire lower intestinal system. He was bedridden. He could not eat. He could not walk. He could not go to the bathroom. He came close to dying several times and went blind in 1.5 of his eyes. Over a period of 13 years, he had 29 hospital stays of a week or more. Throughout this time, however, Chris still managed to build and operate USA Global Link, despite having to spend most of his time confined to his bed. Chris had all the resources in the world to try every kind of healer and alternative therapy that might cure him. And he did. He tried everything from modern medicine to witch doctors, but no one could heal him. By the time Chris heard about Master John Douglas, Chris had had enough of healers, and it took him another 2 years to see Master John. But when he did, Master John Douglas cured him. And ever since then, Chris and Linda Hartnett have changed their life focus. They started the Global Self Foundation to find healers and alternative health modalities that work. And it did not take too long for them to realize that Master John Douglas topped that list. Chris and Linda then formed the CMA International Foundation to assist and protect Master John's healing, knowledge, and mission. Chris heads up all aspects of CMA, tour events, online presence, and the Crystal Chapel on Heavenly Mountain. Chris and Linda have accompanied Master John Douglas on the last 7 tours he has done, and Chris travels with Master John throughout the world. And he introduces Master John Douglas to the workshop participants at almost every Master John live event. There are so many inspiring, surprising, and delightful things about Chris that it seems like a disservice to stop his introduction there. Every time I've gotten an opportunity to spend time with him, I hear another incredible true story about his unbelievable life. Where I usually have my typical way of interviewing guests, Chris is the type of person you want to just let speak without too much interference. He is engaging and tends to bring through just the right information in just the right way. Chris is also one of the most genuinely happy people I know. This interview was recorded during a weekend of workshops on Heavenly Mountain, Boone, North Carolina. Chris jumps right in talking about the true nature of miracles, the laws of nature that govern miracles, and much more. So let's jump right into. Are you ready? Let's get meta.
Hi.
Hi.
To all your people, wherever they are out there. But we're in Heavenly Mountain at this moment. And Heavenly Mountain is a miracle within itself. Being here with you is a miracle. Knowing you and your family and all these people that are in this part of the world right now, we're all here to witness a three-day event of Master John Douglas. And literally, I've been fortunate enough for the last 7 years, I've known him for 10 years, but the last 7 years to travel with him and watch him perform miracles and miracles. And what is a miracle? I mean, that's the big question. And it's different things to different people. But for me, a miracle is anything that's out of the normal construct that society has. So if you were living in a society in the Amazon and everybody every day was used to just going to get water, but all of a sudden you took out a camera and had a flash, that would be a miracle for them because it was outside the ordinary.
Right.
But the question is, what frame of reference do we look at everything to come up with the concept of a miracle itself? And the miracle itself is literally a human construct because it's basically saying whatever's happening is outside the ordinary. So every great spiritual master that I've ever known and been associated with, basically they stretch your awareness. We have consciousness. They take that consciousness and they stretch it. And sometimes they do it in front of other people and sometimes they do it very quietly. But the tradition of masters from Yogananda to all the great masters, they've always given their disciples a taste of what the other side is like. And we know that everything is on one level is seen, but everything that's unseen is really what making everything happen. So if something manifests in the relative creation, physical creation, is a counterpart to that in the unseen world. And so when those two worlds come together in their bridge, that's the true miracle. And yet it's happening all day long, every day, but we don't recognize it as a miracle. We don't see it. And a lot of times, we don't even deserve to see it as a miracle. I mean, that's really the most beautiful thing is that we don't deserve to see it as a miracle because, and that's not a weird thing to say, somebody doesn't deserve something, but it's like before its time. It's like you don't, when a flower is starting to bud, you don't start ripping it open and saying, let me see the flower. It just comes out naturally. So the true most powerful miracles are natural and they manifest most naturally. And so depending on who it is and what great saint we're talking about, I could probably go and dig in there and see where they crossed that line with me or with my family. We were fortunate. My family and I lived with Maharishi and saw him every day for 6.5 years. And this is towards the end of his life, after he'd been with the Beatles and had 7.5 million people as his disciples. And we were very fortunate. And I was running my company, the International Telephone Company, from literally the house next to his. And so after watching him very closely, every day became a miracle. So we're here now with Master John Douglas. After Maharishi passed, I had some health issues and really John started to become my friend very simply. And when I first met him, he was very accessible. Now there's literally, I've watched him do probably over 25,000 miracles.
Wow.
And that's a lot to say to someone. You know, have I seen a miracle? That means 25,000 people. And I know he's probably met and performed over 50 or 60,000, but I didn't know him then.
Right.
And he's a little younger than I am. But as since I've known him, I've watched him cure cancer. I had a friend of mine here at Heavenly Mountain, specifically, who was a very close friend of mine, and he was riddled with cancer. He had tumors, a myeloma, that went and manifested throughout his entire body. He was in hospice, he was dying, and he was very devoted to Master John. And one day towards the end of it, he just totally surrendered and all of his cancer disappeared. And he told his doctor, my cancer's gone. And he's a very aware person, he's a very spiritual person. He'd been doing spiritual practice for 40 years. And he said to the doctors, my cancer is gone. And the doctor said, there's no, with all due respect, he's dying. And they said, you know, he said, no, I want you to do MRI. I want you to do all the medical procedures so we can see that my cancer has disappeared. And the doctors resisted it. And he's a very wealthy man. And he said, no, I'll pay for everything. Just do it immediately. And they did that.
Wow.
And all the cancer was gone.
Yeah.
And he had gone from 210 pounds down to under 100 pounds. And then about 4 months later, I saw him. And he was 140, still working his way back. Came back to Master John. And he said to Master John, what can I do for you? He's a very wealthy man. He said, Master John said, you have to do me one favor. I'm going to ask you. And he said, that is, you have to be happy every day of your life. And if you could be happy every day of your life, that would be a miracle for any of us, because we have our human constructs. We pick on ourselves. We don't like the circumstances we're in. We feel like we're a victim. And we get out of that miraculous realm. But if you really think about it, every single thing in creation is a miracle. The sun comes up as a miracle. If you had no other construct and you didn't know the sun came up every morning, you saw it for the first time, it would be miraculous. The only reason it's not miraculous is we put some label on it, or we put some level of cover on it, and so it's no longer fresh and special. And that goes for everything, whether it's the sun or somebody you meet. If you met anybody on earth and you totally met them innocently and just saw them for who they really were, a divine being, and you had no construct, not the way they looked, not the way they felt, not the way they talked, you just really looked at their soul, you would have no choice but to be in love with them. And you'd have no choice but to see them as a miracle, an exponent of the ultimate reality of divinity. And every person on earth is. So I'm taking up all the time here. I can see that you want to ask a question. So let me let you ask a question.
Here's my question.
Okay.
Why Master John? What is it about Master John?
Well, there's a whole history of how sick I was. And I, too, the reason, well, my friend is I was down to 89 pounds. And I was very, very ill after having literally, so far in my life now, almost 30 hospital stays of a week or more. And I don't know if you've ever been in the hospital, but just one day in the hospital is a lot. But 30 times a week or more, it really broke me down on many levels. And I was lucky because I was successful and I had the means to kind of go to around the world to find somebody, and everybody had healers and friends and people that they knew that could do it. And so I explored. When I heard there was somebody that could heal, I would go investigate. And we literally, my wife and I, started a foundation just so that we would track down those people, because I had been so sick. And it was Master John, out of all the healers that I went to, who actually healed me. And I realized at that point that if he could heal me, he must know a lot more, because all these other people, and some of them were gurus, some of them were very important spiritual beings, but their dharma, their purpose for being on earth was not to heal. Their purpose was to communicate some form of knowledge, but they weren't here just to be a healer. And the healing is a funny thing. People think they understand it, but they really don't in most cases, because they think, oh, well, we'll all put our hands on it, we'll all say prayers, we'll all be nice. But if you don't know what you're doing, you could be multiplying the cancer instead of killing it. And Master John had a unique approach. It's very humble, very simple. He was very unpretentious. But I could tell that he had this glow about him that was not just on the outside, even though he's Australian and he has a very interesting vernacular, and his vocabulary and everything else, and the way he approaches life is very real and normal. So he wasn't that, like he had a dot on his head in robes. And if he did, probably people would have listened to him much sooner.
Right.
But part of his healing is to overcome the obstacles that we have that made us sick in the first place. Because our existence is a miracle. Just by the fact that we can breathe is a miracle. And it's only when you lose that, and I was so sick and I lost the ability to breathe, I lost the ability to walk, to eat, to do all these things. And so each thing became precious. Everything, that when I finally could start to eat again, and I start to appreciate because I had gone so fast and the world got so complicated that I lost touch. And it was such a blessing. The miracle was I got sick. And most people would consider that to be a miracle. They think it'd be something bad. But I got sick, and that sickness is what brought me to Master John. And Master John is very unique because he, since the age of 9, he was able to look into someone's physiology. He can see the bacteria, he can see the virus, he can see those things, and he has the ability to eradicate them. And not only just see them, but to eradicate them, to actually kill. And to be able to kill and still be in the laws of nature. If I went out and shot somebody or killed somebody, I'm obviously outside the laws of nature. It's not in harmony. But sometimes you're allowed to destroy. And you say, well, why? Well, there's lightning, and there's also a sunny day. There's times when nature goes through cycles, and it has to destroy. And so even though there's a balance in Earth, and everything in creation is all balanced, the one thing that allows us to be free of disease is to be able to kill that bacteria, that virus, or that obstacle. And there's many things that Master John has really seen now through his awareness and his very heightened consciousness. He's seen millions and millions of different types of bacteria that we haven't even discovered yet. And you would never know it. If you talk to him, you think he's just some guy from Australia. He's under 50 years old. He's just a fun, jovial guy, but he has that ability, just like you and I may be able to see something. He can see it on that very, very fine level.
How long did it take you being sick before Master John came into your life? And then how long after that did you start to see what he was really, truly capable of and who he really, truly is on this planet?
It's a beautiful question. Beautiful question. You know, I had, at the age of 17, I got involved in meditation. And at that time, it was Ram Dass, and I got close to Ram Dass, and he told me I should go to Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. But I didn't know Maharishi. I didn't know. There was 7 million people that knew him, but I couldn't find him directly. You go to a TM center and learn TM. But he told me that that would be my master, and that's what I should do. So when I met John, basically, he had this ability that I hadn't seen before, because Maharishi's Dharma was to bring out meditation and Jyotish and that sort of thing. But my life up until probably, I think it was 1989, my life was pretty much perfect. I was very lucky, and I just come out of a 16-year Jyotish or Vedic astrology period of Jupiter, which my Jupiter is a double Raj Yoga, so it was a very good period. I met my wonderful wife during that time. I had my first 2 children during that time, and I was trading commodities in Chicago. And I, out of being there for 6 years, I only had 5 losing days in 6 years.
Wow.
And everything I touched, and I would make, go in and one day make $1 million, literally.
Yeah.
And you know, and we had a lot of charities and we gave a lot of money away, but that was, it was just a lucky period. Well, I came into this period, and it was a period called, it was a Saturn period that was going to last for 19 years, but I didn't really know that much about Vedic astrology at the time.
Sure.
And there was a teacher who came from India who was teaching this course, and he looked at my chart and he said, in 3 months, you're going to enter this period of Shani. And I said, Shani, what is that? He said, Saturn. It's the Sanskrit word for Saturn. And I said, what does that mean? He said, oh, this is the period out of all 9 planets that brings you grief.
Wow.
And I literally said to him, I said, what is grief? I didn't know it was grief. And he started explaining. He says, haven't you had somebody close to you die? And at that point in my life, I hadn't.
Wow.
And I said, no. I said, my grandmother died. I loved her. And he said, well, that's grief. And so I had a little taste of grief. At the end of the 19-year period, which I went through, I had had all those operations. I almost died so many times. I went blind in one eye, half in the other eye because of the steroids. I had been through so much, and I knew grief. Grief became my friend. And grief taught me, though, the other side of life that I wasn't exposed to. I just had perfection. I was living in a perfect world, and I had that good luck. But part of the good luck was that I then got sick. But it didn't seem like it was good luck. And it stopped me. I was going, and I would have destroyed myself at the rate I was going, because I thought that I was creating everything. I thought it was my good fortune, my good luck. I was making the money. I was doing, and there was really a giant, giant blessing that was coming out. And I was lucky. I had very good parents, and I grew up in a very great atmosphere, and everything I wanted, I always had. And I didn't realize what it was like to have. And then all of a sudden, everything in my life imploded. And I, during that time, I was very fortunate again, and we had the largest phone company in the world. And so it was great. So it wasn't all bad. And they say that Saturn is the greatest rewarder in Vedic astrology. But that teaches the greatest lessons, and there were some of them very painful. And I needed to know that there were other people on earth that were really suffering. And I had lived such a good life that I didn't really understand how much people could suffer. So I didn't have patience for people. I didn't have tolerance for people. And I had experienced tremendous pain so that I could relate to everyone. And that was part of my life path. But I didn't realize it at the time. I was in the middle of it. So when Master John showed up, you know, I was already out of that period, but I was all still sick. I hadn't gotten out of that. And I knew what it was to suffer. And so I also knew what it was to be relieved of that suffering. And it's different between day and night. It's only when you're really that weak and that beat up that you can see the light. And then I could appreciate him. If he had come 15, 19 years earlier, I probably would have said, who's this guy from Australia? And what do I need him for? Everything's great. But by the time I met him, I realized that there is somebody on earth that can heal. And there's probably a couple other people, and that's what our foundation did. We went around searching for that. But very quickly, those people that we searched out and we found who could heal, they could heal something. Sometimes it's placebo. They had the right intention. We met a lot of beautiful people that were supposed to heal. But this guy was the real deal. And I, because of Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, because of Ram Dass, because of Yogananda's movement when I was involved with that, and this Zen Center in San Francisco, there was a couple of masters there that were truly enlightened. And I had, was blessed with a lot of these people that I had met. And I knew what an enlightened being was like. And how they're not reactive and how clear they are and all these things. And sometimes there's a lot of enlightened people. You could have somebody who's homeless who sits next to you all the time and you know, when you're on a train, and they could be enlightened, they could be the reflection of exactly what you need. So you can't really judge people on that level to who's enlightened, but some people are meant, their dharma is to shine out and be, okay, I'm enlightened. They say that to the people and you could see that they are, they truly are in accord with the laws of nature. Now there can be people who are enlightened who are plumbers that never save anyone on that level. They do it on a quiet level. But Master John is on earth to create miracles. And we know, you know, the Bible, I grew up Irish Catholic, and later I found out I was Jewish, but part Jewish, it's true. And then I was in a Hindu movement for a long time. So I got a taste of all these religions. But realizing that through Catholicism, all this, that there was suffering, and there's a reason for the suffering, I kind of like looked at life a little bit like that. And then I realized that no, with Master John, he's here to just wholly heal people. And the miracles that Christ had were great for that time. Christ brought love. There was no love on earth before that. He brought that. It wasn't Buddha did his thing. But Master John and his master angels are here to literally change the course of the planet on the level of physiology. And funnily enough, that's not the real reason they're here. And this is what most people don't understand. We're now sitting here in North Carolina. We just had an event yesterday and today. We see all these people that are getting healed and they're all blessed. And truly, cancer people getting healed, Lyme disease, leukemia, Parkinson's. We see people getting healed. But Master John, if he can do that, what else does he know? That's the ultimate question.
Right.
And what I saw was so many miracles. And we have now documentation from our foundation with doctors that document these miracles. And literally, there's a book, Medical Miracles, that one of our doctors has just done this, which is on Amazon. It's a great book. I just read it the other day, cover to cover. It takes you about an hour to read. It's a very short book. But each one of these people in this book, we know they're friends of ours,
right?
And they've had miracles. And what happens when there's so many miracles? So now instead of one or two, it's not just loaves and fishes or the blind guy or this person, a leper or something like that. We see miracles every day. And this is the time of miracles. We've entered a time of miracles, which means we're changing the paradigm. That's really what it is. Our human construct says, oh, somebody can't put their hands on you and heal you. And now we're finding out that, yes, they can. And who does that healing? And the great thing about Master John, from the moment I met him, he talks about his master angels, that there's all these legions of angels that now have descended on earth because we've become pure enough to accept those miracles. And those miracles are performed by these deities. Now, there's also hierarchy of the less than positive people. You know, we have all heard about that. We live through those times, and humanity's lived through those times of negativity. But this is a different change now. And we're now in a period where miracles will happen on a momentary basis. And they truly are happening. And it's a visible thing. And many people have celestial perception. I don't have that perception. As I mentioned earlier, I'm pretty much blind now. But I can feel that goodness. And that goodness, Master John knocks it out of the park. Every place I go, I've seen him perform all types of miracles, no matter how sick the people are. But there has to be some level of deservability there. But I know so many doctors, and any good doctor will tell you they really don't know. And yet, when you look at him, he says, I'm not a doctor. I don't have the medical training, but I can see your bacteria. I can see your AIDS. We have so many people now that have been cured of AIDS. I can see it. And it's just a virus, and he can kill a virus. When I first met him, that was, you know, I was a businessman, so I had practical questions for him. And I said, how do I sum you up in one sentence? He looked at me like,
well, what did he say?
I am the universe. No. And he said, I'm a man that can kill a virus. He said, that's it. I said, that's it? He said, that's it. But then I thought about it. What does it take to kill a virus? Who can kill a virus?
Right.
Now, there's many of us have taken his advanced courses. And in the beginning, he said he was never going to teach it, but then nature wanted him to do that. And so now many people can kill a virus
right.
that he's taught to kill those viruses. But at that time, it was a big deal that he could kill a virus. And I remember somebody asked me and said, well, what's so special about this guy? And I said, well, he could kill a virus. And the guy looked at me like, what's a virus? Why is that important?
Right.
But if you really look at it, viruses are important.
Yeah.
Flus are important, bacteria. And if you can see these things and know what cause all these diseases have root causes where the immune system is fighting off something, and maybe we can't see it, but there's people that can see into the physiology. And so now he's given us these techniques to go into the physiology, see the problem, and eradicate the problem. And just and it's not just me. It's like all these other people who had never done anything like that in their life.
Right.
And now they find themselves creating miracles. And we don't look at it as miracles because we're really not doing it. It's the master angels, the other angels that are working through us. But it's like we're air traffic controllers. We're saying, okay, we have to land this plane. What's your problem? Oh, Parkinson's. We know how to invoke that situation or request that situation to cure that problem. And there's ways that we've been taught to scan that person's body on a spiritual level, on a metaphysical level, to literally look into that body and check those things. And when you see that it's present, then there's other things that we do to eradicate it. So it's extremely profound knowledge that has not been here probably for eons. You know, we always have a frame of reference. You know, my frame of reference is always Vedic civilization, which is 7,000 years old. So everything I look at is, oh, that's old humanity, 7,000 years.
Right.
But the knowledge here might even be older than that. We don't know. But the human physiology is meant to be able to have very heightened perception, higher consciousness. And it was through these great saints in the 60s. I grew up in the 60s and 70s. Woodstock, we had, you know, before they started Woodstock, they did a giant Hindu yagya to purify the world. And we all grew up with the Beatles, with the Maharishi and the Beach Boys and Mike Love of the Beach Boys. And, you know, he and I were very close friends for many years. And what was the whole thing with them? The whole thing was to promote the beginning of consciousness. Well, we've been conscious now for a long time. The world's been conscious. So now the next step is to be able to be a miracle worker. And, you know, we are miracles, but we now can perform miracles ourselves. And that means anybody can do this, not just Chris or Ren. We all can do. Every person on earth can be their own healer and also can help other people in humanity if they open up to that. And it is a reality. It's not like this is some mystical thing that's so hidden. When you walk around and you go to these events, and I travel around the world with Master John to all these places, I watch him heal people who are Chinese, people who are in the Philippines, people who are in Dubai, people in the United States, in California, New York, New Jersey even. and literally, they're humans. He has an ability to do that, and he's now teaching other people. So miracles should be our daily life. And every moment we're on this earth is truly a miracle if we're not giving it our human construct. And that's how the angels see it. And we really are angels. We just have to awaken that within us.
I think that was the best introduction to this season of miracles that we're doing here on the podcast. We are spending the next several episodes looking specifically into the miracles that are coming out of this community and theming the episodes around different types of miracles, physical healing, miracles with pets, etc. And nothing could have been said better than the way that you just said that.
It's so beautiful that you're doing this because, you know, there's so much on the internet today and there's so much information. And some of it's real, some of it's not real. Some of it's truthful, some of it's not truthful. And there is a common denominator with all these great saints. And Maharishi used to always say, truth alone will triumph. And I remember looking at that when I was a student at his school in Fairfield, Iowa, and I was young. And I would look and say, well, truth alone will triumph. What is truth? Well, now today, truth is everything. You know, we have a politician gets up there, they say something, is it truthful? Then you have another politician on the other side that says, this is the reality. You say, is that truthful? You have somebody who says, well, I can cure this. Is that truthful? My biggest vulnerability right now is in the middle of the night, I get on the internet, I go on Instagram, and I see these great, great ads that mean everything works. I buy it all and none of it works.
You know that I just did that because of you. I bought two things on Instagram. I haven't even seen them yet, but anyways, but that's another story.
And I just got this back brace because my back, I wanted my shoulders to go back. I'm looking at my computer so much.
Oh yeah, that one. I need that too.
So I get this back brace and it's this thing that's made, you know, and it comes from directly from China. It's a little piece of tape that I could have done myself as a little stretchy fabric, but I didn't scan the truth of it.
Okay.
And John, Master John has taught us how to do that. And that's really what we have to do. We have to be able to discern truth today. So the fact that you're doing this podcast is not just any podcast. Those people that are fortunate enough to hear you, and I know you, I know your family, I know your mom, and I know a lot of your friends, and you are, and I'm not just saying this to make you feel good, you are a custodian of truth on earth. And it's so beautiful that you take your time, your effort to do this, because your nature, I know you well enough to know, is to share. And so your people that are listening to this, they really should listen to you. And I don't know, I've never heard one of your podcasts.
Yeah.
And I did cheat once. I went one time and saw a little bit of one, but I really haven't seen, you know, but they should listen to this because there are miracles on earth and more people are waking to this. And what greater feeling can you have? You could be nice to your friend. You could buy them a nice present for their birthday or their wedding or whatever. But when you take someone's pain away, and just because you're becoming a facilitator for angels, for the angelic kingdom that's now trying to reform this earth, and you can stop a virus, you can stop a flu, you can stop this. There's no greater feeling because you can't do anything better for someone than relieve their pain. And none of us started off to think that we're going to be healers. And I still don't consider myself a healer. I don't want to be a healer. Right. It's not my wheelhouse.
Right.
It's not my bucket list to be a healer. But when my grandchildren are sick, when my mother's sick, who's 93 years old, when my friends are sick, and I can quietly change their life and change that suffering, there's nothing better.
Right.
Because you can't give them. It's like giving them gold, but it's ethereal gold. And so the fact that you're doing this now and you have this podcast and this is, you know, you're going to interview all these people who have actually had miracles. And the fact is that we couldn't make this up.
No.
That's the great thing about hanging around with Master John. You see miracle after miracle. And there's nobody who comes and spends time with him that doesn't realize, no matter how negative they are, no matter how skeptical they are, the truth is truth.
Right.
And when you see that truth and it's true truth, then it transcends everything else.
And what's beautiful about this too is that I think some of the listeners will miss naturally is because you and I will know these people personally who are sharing these miracles throughout the next several episodes of this podcast. And we know them personally. And so we know that their miracles are true. And I feel like the format of this will hopefully translate to everybody listening.
And what I would suggest to your readers, and it sounds like it's self-serving, I am chairman of the Global Self Foundation, which basically is investigating alternative health modalities. We also started CMA International, and for legal reasons, we started the Church of the Master Angels. It could be the Temple of Master Angels. It's just a structure that we put around John and the miracles that are happening so that people don't come and say we're practicing medicine without a license.
Right.
And so we don't. We don't practice medicine, but we have a lot of doctors that are learning these techniques. But whoever's listening to this, your listeners, you know, I really beg them to take a step and listen to this, because this isn't about money. And you know our background here, and this is very well financed. And we do what we do to help people, and we supplement, many people supplement, and many families are supplementing this to make it available to as many people as possible. And these tours are very expensive, and traveling around the world with this whole entourage of people, healing people, is expensive. But it's not about the money. It's about that experience. And so if people can open up their mind long enough to just do this, if you're suffering, you're hearing me talk about this and you're sitting at home and you're suffering, you move around in bed and you're hurt, or you're laying down, you've had a fever, or maybe you've had polio, or maybe you've had Parkinson's for 15 years. This is worth investigating. You don't even have to believe us. You just try.
Listen to the next couple episodes.
Yeah.
Hear the miracles.
Just try. And we have, you know, many friends who I'm sure you'll interview, but one in particular, she had sarcoidosis in her body, and for 2.5-3 years of her life, every moment was pain. And those people that have it, and it's incurable. You ask any doctor, it's absolutely incurable.
Right.
Yet within instant, she had relief.
Right.
And I have had relief. That doesn't mean I don't still get sick. I get sick because I pick up stuff that's new and it's not on our radar as to what it is, or I have back pain and I have my regular thing. But even that's starting to dissipate. Why? Because it's all has its basis in bliss. And if we are in bliss ourselves and we can increase the bliss in our life, then we can eradicate any suffering. It's the opposite of suffering. And the human nature and humankind has been suffering for all these years. It's about time we start feeling good.
Absolutely.
We deserve to feel good. We really deserve to feel good. And there's not a person listening to my voice that doesn't deserve to be happy, healthy, and terrific and feel good. You may convince yourself that you're supposed to suffer. You may think you're not worthy. That's ridiculous. You're worthy. This is a time now for all of humanity. We can be happy, healthy, and terrific. We can be full. We can be enlightened. We can be full of life. And we should be happy. And if you're sick, that's a great blessing. That's the miracle, because now you're going to do something to get out of it.
Right.
And if you take all these drugs and you do this, not that we don't believe in Western medicine. We love Western medicine. There's a lot of things, you know, if you have to get something cut out of you or whatever, and I had my colon cut out of me and I had all these operations that I went through, and I would be dead if I didn't have those. But while I was having those operations, there's a lot of bacteria, there's viruses, that's all killed. And there's certain things that we can do now. And there's a certain dispensation on earth for people not have to suffer on those levels. And so that's, you're providing such a great service to all these people that are listening to this, not because I love you, not because I love your mother, not because you've come to see John and all that. No, it's just because this is what you're doing and it works. And that's the one thing about being a business. When I say businessman, today's world is almost like you're bad because you're a business.
Right.
No, I created a lot of wealth and we did a lot of good things with the wealth.
Yeah.
But the thing with money is that you can help people. You can help people. And if someone is suffering, there's no reason why they should suffer. So if you take an action, but you wouldn't be suffering if you weren't out of balance. And we're all out of balance. That's why I got blind. My body, my incarnation was out of balance. So nature corrected it. So we shouldn't suffer. And you're giving them a path. I hope they listen to it. I know there's so many great people. We have so many miracles here. And, you know, and it takes you 2 minutes to experience it. If you come to see Master John, you know, everybody knows what it feels like when somebody's not being truthful. Everybody knows when they're playing a game or they're trying to sell you something.
Right.
What if you just look at yourself and you see yourself and these other people and you realize this is the truth I've been waiting for. I deserve this. And we all do deserve it. This is a time to be happy.
That's amazing. That's beautifully put. Chris, thank you so much. I so appreciate you
thank
being
you.
On here.
Thank you.
Getting us all excited for this beautiful season of miracles.
Thank you for all you're doing for the world.
I am beyond grateful to Chris for being on the podcast. He is such a pleasure to listen to. We could have several more episodes on just him and his fascinating life. I'm honored that he shared his experience with Master John here, and I hope that it has helped you in a different way to see another side of Master John Douglas. And I think what Chris talked about offers a unique and somewhat more advanced look into where else we are headed in this season. In the episode, Chris mentioned a person who was cured of sarcoidosis. Her name is Jan, and her miracle story was shared in our previous episode, episode 38, Let's Get Miraculous. Jan is also the guest on the bonus content for that episode. So if you haven't heard that story yet, please check out episode 38. As for what is coming up in this season, both Chris and Jan in the previous episode mentioned Dr. Rick Sarnett, author of a book about Master John's healings called Medical Miracles. And I wanted to let you all know that Dr. Sarnett is also going to be a guest on this season of the podcast, and his insightful interview will air soon. Chris also talked a little bit about how not only is Master John healing thousands of people, he is also teaching people how to become their own miracle workers in his advanced development courses. You will hear more and more about this as the season continues, leading up to an episode where people who have taken this advanced course share some of their experiences, healing themselves and their family. But first, we have a lot more miracle stories to hear. In our next episode, you will hear more physical healing miracles directly from the people who experienced them, including the curing of Lyme disease, intense back pain, and curing of staph infection. You will also hear from someone cured of a debilitating nervous system disease caused by parasites, and also from somebody who is an Olympic athlete cured of what doctors call chronic fatigue. I think from that interview, what we'll get out of that is that they call it chronic fatigue because they don't truly know what is causing chronic fatigue. Luckily, somebody around here does. In the bonus content for this episode, I speak about some of the lessons I have learned from Master John through Chris Hartnett over the past few years. And Chris doesn't even know this, but he, without knowing it, has helped me to recognize and reconcile some of my less appealing qualities, including judgment towards others, just by being him and who he represents in this whole movement of CMA International Foundation. So I'm super grateful to Chris for a lot of things, but particularly for the things that he has no idea about. You can listen to the bonus content by becoming a patron of the Let's Get Metaphysical podcast at patreon.com/letsgetmeta. If you enjoy listening to Chris speak as much as I do, please check out the Superhero of Love podcast with host Bridget Fonger. Bridget interviews Chris Hartnett in the episode 69, Angels, Miracles, and Soul Realization with Dr. Christopher Hartnett. It is powerful and includes all kinds of amazing stories with Chris and Master John Douglas. I'm going to leave it there for today. Be sure to listen in to the next episode to hear some more incredible miracle stories. Until then, stay meta.
The statements and advice offered in this podcast are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or medical condition, and are not substitutes for prudent medical care offered by a licensed medical professional. References to healing or treatments in this podcast are describing faith-based blessings performed by God and the Master Healing Angels. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you like what we are doing, please consider becoming a patron of the podcast at patreon.com/letsgetmeta. Our intention is to raise the vibration of the planet by sharing, validating, and normalizing spiritual and metaphysical experiences. If you haven't pledged yet, we would really appreciate your support. It helps keep this show going. Let's Get Metaphysical is a production of the HANA Healing Arts Network. The show's host is Renata Maniacci. The music for this podcast was composed by Rob Trefort of GoldenTurtleSound.org. Thank you for listening. Stay meta.
Let's get meta.
Metaphysical.
Let's get meta.
Metaphysical.
Let's get meta.
Metaphysical.
Let's get meta.
Metaphysical.